The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us today. My name's Kent Swanson. I am the lead film and draft analyst for Arrowhead Pride. This is the AP Laboratory. And
we are mobile right now.
We are mobile. That is a fantastic joke. We are literally in the car.
Yes.
Recording a podcast.
Yes. Yes, we are. There is a microphone sitting on the console right now as we drive through Louisiana.
Jake's here too. Say hi, Jake.
Hey, guys.
You haven't heard him for a while. If you didn't listen to the draft show, Jake and me headed that up last year before Craig and Matt came on. So Jake will be part of our draft coverage as he was last year. Craig and Matt will be part of it, obviously, as well. And we have a lot of really cool things we're looking forward to kind of announcing down the road. Some really big plans for our draft coverage. And we'll turn the page to the draft here in a minute, but I think we probably need, unfortunately, to talk a little bit about what happened on Sunday night. The Chiefs made a furious comeback, took the lead against the New England Patriots, but it was ultimately not enough as Tom Brady held on to the torch for one more year. Craig, you were at the game.
I was. It was a very cold and windy evening. My voice is still semi-recovering there. That place was rocking the entire game. Even when the Patriots were sort of controlling the ball in the first half, it really never died down. Chiefs fans did a great job keeping that building very, very loud. It did get a little bit of the air sucked out of it when Dee Ford was adjudged to have lined up in the neutral zone. But, yeah, no, it was good. It was a good time. The future's bright, but the defense is not.
Maddie, what do you think about this game?
I think the Chiefs came out, they got entirely outcoached to start the game, and I think that they really had a hard time catching back up from there. Just whether it was the offense, the defense, they just never seemed to really get their footing unless Pat was out there making plays, which is great. We've grown accustomed to that, but I really expected the Chiefs coaches to come out with a little bit better game plan than what we saw on both sides of the ball. We essentially lost the same Patriots offense and defense that people have seen all year or the last 20 years and just didn't really have an answer to it. And that part's probably the most disappointing. But at the same time, going forward, you're going to have a better team next year. You still have Patrick Mahomes, and he did anything but disappoint. So you can't be that upset if you're a Chiefs fan. And it's draft season, so it looks even better for me.
Yeah, of course. No, Maddie's full on into draft season. The thing that bothers me about that game is, I mean, you saw how furious of a comeback that was with the offense. You saw him put up 31 points in the second half. A couple little things go differently, and that might be a completely different ball game. And that's going to steam. I mean, we can analyze every single little thing that happens, but it's already been overanalyzed. What was the? We're gonna lean into this pain a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, and then we'll get on to the draft stuff. What was the one thing that just hurt the most to you? Start with Craig.
The one thing that hurt the most is that Charvarius Ward came up with an interception that would have iced the game. It really hurt because Charvarius has played really pretty decent over the past 3 weeks. It looks like the Chiefs have something in him as a player where, you know, we were going to have a bunch of questions at cornerback going into this offseason, going into 2019, there are still questions there, but Charvarius Ward looks like a guy that they might be able to hang their hat on for a little bit, and he made a big play and a big moment, and it just it felt like that was the one. That was, they had it right in their grasp, and then, yeah, it got called back for penalty.
Maddie?
For me, it was losing the coin flip in overtime because, like every other Chiefs fan, I knew the game was over right then and there. I mean, you saw it. We had 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-10, 3rd-and-10. These are pretty much uncontested, complete passes on 3rd-and-long, right on the targets. Great plays by great ball placement by Brady, but these receivers are wide open. But did anybody expect any different going into that? So as soon as they lost that coin flip, you knew the only way Mahomes was getting back on the field is if the defense somehow forced a field goal. But even that felt like a long shot, and it was just capped off by Rex Burkhead running over tacklers in the red zone. Just that's just like the ultimate stamp of the game being over. This was no longer the Sony Michel show. This wasn't James White getting out into the flats. No, it was Rex Burkhead up the middle running over everybody to get the touchdown. Just that whole process was bad. Didn't feel good. Didn't leave a good taste in my mouth. But at the same time, like I said, they expected it as soon as we lost that coin flip.
The thing for me was 3 3rd-and-10s in overtime.
Three 3rd-and-10s in overtime.
Like, you think they're going to cover a slot receiver from a stack formation in the middle of the field next year?
No, probably not. I mean, no, actually, I think they will because I think someone else will be calling the plays. And, yeah, we went there.
Who's it going to be?
Mike Smith.
Craig Stout.
No. No, you don't want to get 800 points scored on you a game.
No, we already did, so.
I mean, it can't get worse, right? Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I feel. Okay, one, I'm going to ask this question, and this is kind of our turning of the page.
Well, I have a good question, too.
Oh, well, Matthew, you go ahead.
Hey, Jake, you're not a Chiefs fan. What did you think about the game?
Gosh. Well, I'll just say this. Like, I'm not a Chiefs fan, but if I was a Chiefs fan, and it's not that I don't root for the Chiefs, because I definitely do, but you have the envy of 31 teams in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes is, I think, unquestionably the greatest asset in professional sports right now. I mean, so if you know my background, like, I'm a big Packers fan. Like, I've lived through Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre in my life.
Bumps.
And if you could tell me right now, if you... I mean, the Packers would be out of their minds. Well, maybe not. I don't know what I'm saying here, but but what I'm trying to get at is, would I take Patrick Mahomes at age 23 over Aaron Rodgers at age 35? Yeah, I would. Oh. If you separate the attachment to it, 100%. I think you take another 10 to 15 years of greatness. Patrick Mahomes has shown absolutely nothing other than he's just going to get better, and he's just going to be scary. He's going to be scarier than he already is. So, yes, it sucks to lose a conference championship game, and I get that. There's no guarantee you'll get back. There's no guarantee they'll be this healthy next year, all that stuff. But you have to feel good about the fact that you probably have the best quarterback in the National Football League playing for you for the next 10 years.
I just got chills.
And to that point, I was stopped twice in the airport today wearing my Chiefs hat from a Patriots fan and a Saints fan telling me that they would trade the rest of the season that included the chance of the Super Bowl for the Patriots to have Patrick Mahomes on their team. So what Jake's saying is absolutely true. Every other fan wants Patrick Mahomes on their team. You as Chiefs fans have that. Enjoy it no matter what happened this year.
All right, I want to ask this question, then we're going to get to some draft content because we are turning the page here. I want to know from each of you, besides baby goat Patrick Mahomes.
Baby
goat, the young goat, he's coming. What is the one thing that you're most excited about from this roster, from this year, that you're looking forward to next year?
For me, it's Chris Jones. Chris Jones was fantastic this year. He lost weight. He kind of got himself in shape. I think that coaching staff really helped him develop into just now this insanely great interior defensive lineman. I think that next year he can be even better, and I think that Chiefs are going to have, even if they lose either Justin Houston or Dee Ford or even both in this offseason, they are still going to have a guy that can get after the passer and can do it from a position that a lot of teams are very envious and don't have guys like that. So it's Chris Jones for next year.
For me, it's Sammy Watkins. I mean, I know it's wishful thinking to think you're going to get a full year from him, but he's got a year in this Andy Reid offense that he said at the beginning of the year, asked him to do a lot more stuff than he's done all the way since going back to Clemson. So you get him another year in the offense learning what to do. You get him healthy. We saw against the Patriots, he's pretty much the only weapon with Damian Williams that was keeping the Chiefs afloat. Now, the Patriots were kind of letting him do it, leaving him one-on-one, but just the fact that he's able to beat guys like Stephon Gilmore or J.C. Jackson or Justin Jones, I believe that was probably the wrong name even for that corner, but besides that, the fact that he was able to win these one-on-ones is something that the Chiefs haven't had across from Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill over the last couple of years. So having that now just gives you all the weapons for Mahomes to continue to improve and be better. And God forbid you get Sammy Watkins for a full season, I kind of think the sky's the limit for the offense going forward, and there should be no reason to think it's going to take a step back.
When Sammy Watkins had what? Like, he had about 180 yards of receiving yards in the playoffs. Like, that's he earned it this year. He was big in their biggest games. I have no qualms with that Sammy Watkins contract at all. For me, I'm not going to say, like, this is I'm most optimistic about, but I'm extremely fascinated with Charvarius Ward. I want to see if he can duplicate this. I want to see if he's a guy that they can trust. Maybe I don't think he's your number two corner or anything like that, but I think he's a guy that can play, you know, rotationally. He can give you solid snaps. I think they might be onto something there, and I'm really mostly just curious more than maybe excited, but I'm really excited to see what he can do moving forward. Okay, we're done talking about the Patriots. I mean, I'm sure it'll probably creep up a couple times.
Nope, and never again.
Or not. We're on our way to the Senior Bowl. It is draft season, Matthew. I know you're geeked out right now. We're obviously pretty excited. We're going to try to get as much information, Chiefs-specific. We're going to ask some Chiefs-specific questions this week to a lot of prospects. We're always going to be looking at all these players through the lens of how they could benefit the Kansas City Chiefs the same way we did last year. And we're going to do more than we've ever done at Arrowhead Pride. It's going to be obnoxiously awesome. I can't wait. Guys, give me one player that you are excited to see this week. Start with Craig.
For me, it's Jermaine Pratt, a guy that I wasn't really aware of all that much out of NC State. He's a linebacker. He's a very long linebacker that's a safety convert. Now, there are questions about his range. There are questions about his ability to cover it, you know, a guy up the seam. But he's a guy that's very intriguing to me with his length and his size. He's going to weigh in at about 240 probably. We'll find out for sure tomorrow. But it's a guy that I think that he could be added as a true linebacker and still be able to cover and still have a little bit of the coverage skill that we need on this team. Both Anthony Hitchens and Reggie Ragland are terrible in coverage. I know the Chiefs have Dorian O'Daniel, but O'Daniel's a little bit smaller guy. I think that maybe a guy with a little more length to be able to carry tight ends is very intriguing. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he brings this week.
Jacob?
Yeah. There's a guy named Donald Parham. He's a tight end from Stetson, which is an FCS school. This guy he's like 6'8", 240. There's hardly any film on him. Honestly, the only thing I've seen is there's like a minute and a half highlight tape of him. So I'm just really excited to watch him, because when you do watch just his highlight tape, you see a guy that is a massive human being that really moves like a wide receiver. And so I'm really interested to see how does he match up against, you know, legit FBS talent. Is he going to rise to the occasion, or is he kind of just going to fall to the wayside? So he's a guy that I'm really excited to see, just because I think when you talk about the Chiefs, my whole offseason approach for the Chiefs, and I know you guys are going to say at defense, 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 but I kind of think it would be fun just to see them add more offensive weapons and just go out and score 100 points on everybody.
Poor Craig.
Jake, I hate you right now.
If But this guy, I mean, honestly, if you could, you could do 12 personnel with him, you could split him out wide, you could keep him in line, you could do a ton of things with him. He looks like a real bendy athlete, so we'll see. I'm excited to watch him, half because I think he's a freak athlete with a huge amount of upside, but also because I haven't really seen him besides in like a really small sample size. So that's my guy, Donald Parham.
For me, it's a guy we've talked about a couple times on here, but I'm extremely excited to see Rock Ya-Sin, cornerback from Temple. He's been kind of my guy for a while now. He's 6'1", 6'2", a little lean, lanky, about 190 pounds. And again, we'll find out for everybody tomorrow, but he plays about as physical as you can for a cornerback at the line of scrimmage. He's an ex, like, wrestling champion, state champion in high school that shows up when he's out there on the boundary. He's beating receivers up. He's using his length, but he's not stiff. He's not the most fluid guy. He doesn't have great footwork, but it's not terrible. You can tell he's still learning. He's a guy that started in Division II. He moved his way into Temple after Presbyterian College. He's getting his technique down, but what you can see is he's a guy, he can turn, he can run. He's got long speed. He's got great ball skills. And the few matchups he's had against teams like UCF or Buffalo when going up against Anthony Johnson, he's had great games. So now I'm just excited to see him against other top wide receiver prospects. And this is a decent wide receiver group at the Senior Bowl. It's not great, but it's not as bad as it's been in years past as well. So I'm just excited to see him out there, see how well he moves, and just see if he's as good at the line of scrimmage against these guys as it looks like he is on film.
I have the distinct pleasure
Wait
of watching.
Wait a second, hey, hold on a second. Before you go, Kent, I want to throw one other guy out there that I'm really excited to watch. And that's my boy, my guy.
There's currently fisticuffs happening in the vehicle.
My guy, Nasir Adderley, who's probably...
I knew that was
who's
coming.
Who's probably the best player in Mobile.
Not probably.
I was about to give you, like... a lot of props, but you just kind of beat me to it.
Well, Jake, I don't need to now. Jake's just gave myself props.
Jake's our primary grader on Nasir Adderley. Just so you guys know, we have about 100 prospects already with initial grades because we're crazy people. So we are
slacking.
Yeah, we're way out ahead of this. We already have a lot of initial grades on our big board already. Jake gave Nasir Adderley a round one grade.
He's probably going in the top 15.
And he's an absolute stud.
After this week, that's kind of the question, is after this week, is he really going to solidify himself as the number one safety in this class? A lot of people might think it's Deontay Thompson from Bama, but I think when people really look at the film...
Oh, man.
And Matt actually made a really good point earlier when we were talking about, you know, some people aren't really in on Adderley yet, and Matt really just kind of brought... Matt said, those are the people that just haven't watched his film yet.
Right.
Because when you put on the tape, the guy is, he's a legit cover one safety. I mean, he is a safety with corner skills. I've heard Dane Brugler say that he's probably going to test out of this world. Like, we're talking like 40 plus vertical, 4.3 athlete, really good three cone time. So I'm excited to see all that on display as well this weekend. Kent, who is your guy that you're going to say?
I was going to go with this year Adderley.
Oh.
Huh.
Strange.
What do you know? I'm so
you're going to follow up with Ryan Finley, right?
No, that's not happening. I do have a feeling Nasir Adderley is going to be sun status for basically everyone in this car and probably a lot of people in Kansas City.
You mean in the NFL?
In the NFL. Yeah.
He does fit a direct need for the Chiefs, though.
And he does it. Sure. He does not feel like he's going to be there at 29. Like, yeah. It really does not. Crazy. Like, he's incredible. He has a quarterback background, too, but he does. Like, he's willing to hit, and he flies around the field.
If you just want to watch one play, type in Nasir Adderley. Odell Beckham interception.
It's phenomenal. But he's not just that either. Like, he ran over a guy on a kick return, stared over him,
and then ran into the end zone.
And he, like, paused for a second and, like, stared down this dude that he just, like, took his soul and then kept running. It was like time stood still for a second.
And this is now a Delaware Blue Hen podcast where we talk about Nasir
Adderley. Hey, Brett Veach, like, former Delaware Blue Hen. Did you know that about your son, Jake Stack?
I know that he's cousins with Packers Hall of Famer and NFL Hall of Famer Herb Adderley.
No, that my piece of info is better. I'll add a guy that I'm interested in. Just because I've been the primary grader on him. Oh, Shane Zimenez from Old Dominion. Some people have him as a round one player. I'm not there yet, so that's why I'm really curious to see, you know, what he's able to do here against a higher level of competition. I think he's got like an arsenal of moves that he's used. I think he's got some struggles in the run game from what I saw. I don't think he's overly explosive as an athlete. I think he can bend a little bit, but I want to see what kind of ability he really has up against top tier competition. And it's a guy that's had a month, probably 2 months at this point to really prepare for the process. So let's see what kind of development he's been able to make, you know, since his last time playing. His team was terrible. Even though they beat Virginia Tech, they only won 3 games. They didn't go to a bowl game. So that's a guy that I'm pretty curious to see. What we talked specifically about players. Are there any position groups that you guys are really zeroed in on? I think we're going to have an idea at this point. But, Craig, what's a position group that you're really interested in watching?
It's corner this week for me. I think in addition to Rakyasen, Amani Arawarie.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was a good job.
He's been practicing all night.
I have been practicing that a little bit. Penn State. He is a zone guy with really good ball skills. If he can show that he can press this week, then he becomes probably a high round two pick if he doesn't flirt with the round one. He's really got some really good tape, so he's just got to show a little bit more in man. And then Chris Boyd out of Texas is also there. That's a guy Matt actually said earlier tonight that it's a guy that has round one games and then undraftable games. So he's just very inconsistent. Those three guys, I think, could all be kind of in the making for the Chiefs if they're looking at drafting a corner in round two or round three. Those are the types of guys I think would be around, so I'm going to really focus on them this week.
For me, it's the safety group. We're kind of sticking to the secondary, and we've already talked enough about Adderley, but a guy that I actually think might push up to that second safety spot ahead of Deontay Thompson is Juan Thornhill. Mm-hmm. Speaking of another guy that played corner last year, he was the Virginia's number one corner. This year, he takes over Quinn Blanding's role as their box safety. So this is a guy not going from corner to free safety, but he's stepped in, he's played in the box, he's played corner, he can play deep, excellent ball skills. As long as he kind of looks like the same athlete he's showed on film to me, I feel like he's got to be pushing right up there into the back of that first round and challenging for that second safety spot. But even behind him, you got guys like Darnell Savage, who I'm going to say is more of a nickel DB. He's kind of that honey badger kind of role where he's playing more slot corner. But you want to see a guy that probably has the best click and close you're going to see in the last couple drafts. Watch Darnell Savage out of Maryland. He's very undersized, but when he sees something, this man closes on it unbelievably fast. You have, who else got there? We got Jonathan Abram, Kent's guy. He's a big dude. He's going to hit people as hard as he can. He may not always know where he's going or what's happening, but he's going to be fun.
He's actually not playing, believe it or not.
He got red flagged.
Oh, he got red flagged, and by my guy, you just mean that I was the grader on him because he's not,
Kent loved him.
He's not really exactly my kind of guy.
And then finally, my last guy, before I got cut off with this great information that I missed on my flight, was Marquise Blair. He's just your kind of center fielder kind of safety. He looks like he has some range. He's shown some nice stuff. He's shown the ability to tackle as well. Just, it's an intriguing safety class.
I actually watched Marquise Blair, some All-22, him on the way to New Orleans. We are driving, by the way. We flew to New Orleans, and we're driving to Mobile. There's really no good way to get to Mobile, Alabama. So you have to fly. Marquise Blair, I watched some tape of his. I've got like a early fourth round grade on him right now. He missed a lot of tackles the last game I watched. Some of his angles from center field were a little wonky.
So you can say he's like the last Utah safety.
Yeah.
Marcus Williams.
Yeah. But there's still some really, he flies around. Like, he's willing to, he flies, and when he sees it, he's really reactive. Sometimes it comes at the expense of some poor technique when he actually gets to the player. Like, he read some stuff really well, a game I watched against Arizona, but couldn't finish. But he still, like, some really fun tape at times, some inconsistencies, but I think some of it is fixable, too. Like, He's got the profile. He's like 6'2", 6'3", fast, athletic, willing to stick his nose in there too at the same time. Like, he is a guy that's pretty intriguing. I probably would have said safety class too. So we'll just move on. We're gonna play this game. We'll probably play this a few times throughout the off season. But I want to kind of just give you a little poll, simple yes or no questions, and maybe just get the pulse of how we feel over the time throughout the season. So we'll start with this one. Yes or no? Brett Veach trades up into the first round.
Into the first round? Like further into
in
it?
Trades up further.
Yes.
In the first round. Yes. Jacob.
No. Yes.
I think I'm a yes at this point. Right now, sitting where we're at right now. Let's see how the board plays out. Okay. Brett Veach, does he make four top 100 picks this year? Yes or no?
No.
No. No.
I'm a no there.
I think either he trades up in the first round.
Or the second.
Or he trades in both of those seconds to move up high into the second round.
Both, just because we're giant nerds, or at least I'm a giant nerd, both second round picks that the Chiefs can get them into the mid-30s.
Yeah.
Very easily.
36.
If someone really wanted to split that asset in the top, I don't know who it would be, but one of those teams in the early 30s, in the early second rounds, if they really wanted to just accumulate additional picks, both Chiefs second rounders could really get them up to there to some range like that. So I'm a no as well, though. I don't think he makes four top 100 picks. Okay, here's another one. Do the Chiefs take an offensive player in the first two rounds? Yes or no?
Yes. I hope so. I'm also a yes. I'm banking on Riley Ridley or my guy out of Iowa State, Hakeem Butler. Those are my hopes. Oh, I wouldn't hate Noah Fant or Irv Smith either.
I got a long list of guys
I'm cool with, so yes.
There's a lot of tight ends. Sneakily, this is something you're going to hear from us for the next couple months.
It's a really good tight end class.
It's stacked.
Really good tight end class. If one of those big, big names at tight end falls to the second round, Demetrius Football Harris is probably not on this team next year.
Harris.
I'm just saying.
I'm done with Demetrius.
He's probably not on this team next year. They do need an heir apparent to Kelce in the nearish future. I think if a guy like Noah Fant, T.J. Hockenstein, they're not going to fall.
Hockenstein.
Oh my goodness.
I'm
so sorry.
I think we're gonna roll with Hockenstein.
Okay. Because okay. I'm calling him Hockenstein. Beer. He's a beer.
I'm gonna call him Hockakittle.
Hockenstein.
Ooh.
Yeah. But yeah, they've just got
George Hockenson.
They're so good that if one of those guys, if Irv Smith is sitting there in the second round, you almost can't not take him. I mean, you have to take him.
The value at tight end. If you know this podcast or some of the draft conversations.
Kit loves two things, value and compensatory picks.
Woo, that's my brand. I'm all about, if there's a value like that, and like the New England Patriots, if they wind up with T.J. Hockenson, we are revolting. T.J. Hockenstein, yeah, sorry.
Hockenbeer.
But I could just see Hockenson wind up being a Patriot. So yeah, but there's just good value that could really fall at the tight end position, and that's where to Jake's point, you get greedy on offense. You have another tight end in the wings, 12 personnel. Imagine Irv Smith, Travis Kelce, Sam Watkins, Tyreek Hill,
nightmare,
Daryl Henderson.
What? You have to remind me later on in this podcasting future to give my argument for a wide receiver in round two.
It's
too long to go right now.
Matthew,
you have to remind me later.
Matthew, we have months. Literally months.
I can fill it.
I know. We all know.
Starting right now to the draft, he can fill it.
Yeah, seriously. But like I said, we've got a lot of really cool things planned. We've got literally already almost 100 prospects with initial grades. We'll have more in the future. You're gonna have some draft flavor to a lot of our podcast conversations. We're not gonna go full fledged draft for everything because there's still free agency. There's still a lot of stuff to discuss.
Coaching changes
probably. The draft will always be there, and we're gonna start getting you prepped for all these prospects. Really looking forward to it. I promise you this. No one in Kansas City will have more Chiefs-specific draft coverage than Arrowhead Craig.
Absolutely, and I got good news for Craig. He's got a new cornerback to watch tonight. Jimmy Moreland has been added.
James Madison, another FCS guy.
Here we go.
Got a little guy. So what the Chiefs need is another nickel corner. Trash talking, feisty nickel corner. Chiefs brand.
Wonderful.
Hashtag at the bar
watching corners tonight, guys.
Well, that's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow with more draft content. We will recap what we saw in day one of the Senior Bowl. Probably, we might even have some sound clips of some prospects that we will throw up into the podcast. But really excited to get this thing going. We will talk to you tomorrow.
My name is Spencer Hall.
My name is Jason Kirk.
My name is Ryan Nanny.
And when we combine, we form
the Shutdown Fullcast.
I keep telling you, we're not Fultron.
The Shutdown Fullcast is technically a college football podcast, but it's also a show about
lawn care disasters,
regional grocery stores we love,
Tennessee Batman,
homeowners associations,
Bears in video games.
I mean, there's also some actual football discussion, like about coaches having huge contracts, or coaches making terrible decisions, or coaches saying really stupid things.
Or the NCAA saying really stupid things.
Yeah, there's lots of stupid things in this big, dumb, beautiful sport.
Sometimes we talk about football games.
Allegedly.
If you want to take college football exactly as seriously as it deserves to be taken, come find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts like this one.
The Shutdown Fullcast.
It's not Voltron.